Well, good morning and welcome. Just about 25 minutes now, moving on up before the top, 11 o'clock here on Radio Caribbean International. And this is where we officially welcome you to She Speaks for today, the 18th day in the month of May. Our awesome guest today, for those of you who are just joining us, is none other than Janelle Blanchard. Let's go on over and say good morning. Good morning, Janelle. Such an honor
to
have
you. Good
morning,
Maureen.
Oh, God.
Thanks for having me on.
Let me tell you, that big bright smile. Oh, yeah, there you go. I wanted that smile right there for my viewers. They needed to get a taste of that this morning. We are honored to have you. And we got quite a lot to talk about. And like we said, half an hour is no time. 5 minutes done, gone off. It's business already. So let's start off by now getting a little bit more intimate with you. Who is Janelle? Where were you born? What was growing up like? What kind of household? What were some of the values instilled in you from then that you think stayed up until today to where you're at right now and some of the amazing stuff that you're doing today? Talk to us.
Born in Castries, went to primary school at San Susi Government School, what is now Carmen Rene, and then followed on to St. Joseph's Convent, proud representative of St. Maria Goretti.
Oh, gosh.
my childhood was marked with one of fun. You know, my mother prioritized beach times. She prioritized times down the coast visiting Soufre. It was a time of commitment to the country where we were involved in the National Trust and visiting Maria Island and doing beach cleanups and walking, you know, around the island or walking to Bexar on Good Friday. A real commitment to doing better. And I think I took that with me. I left and got into international development, and a large part of the work of international development is making the world a better place for the less fortunate. So I had a happy childhood, one filled with a lot of family. Mm-hmm. My mother is the first of seven, so lots of aunts and cousins and family time, which is why I'm home for 2 months. I was missing that family time during COVID. I had to come back down.
I know. But the work that you're doing is so critical out there. You know, so we would understand why they would want to keep you away, you know, to make sure that this work continues. Mm-hmm. But like you said, family at the end of the day, all the young people say OTF, only the family. Family is very important. And you need that energy as well to carry on. So I'm happy you were able to be back with your family.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
I mean, once I was able to vaccinate, you know, that was the key. And, you know, it made me able to come home.
Right. Wonderful. Great. Listen, that's a lot. I want to come back to, I want to spend a lot more time this morning, because sometimes we take a longer time in getting to know you part and what are the things you used to run after, when playtime as a child, what you used to play with, what were some of the games you gravitated towards, or were you not a player at all? Or you, like you said, it was rounded.
I wouldn't say that I'm a player. You know, the folks who know me when I was at convent said that I was so committed and so serious.
Right.
You know, I was in quadrille. I was in the environment club. I actually worked at Radio St. Lucia for 2 summers, so I have a little radio background.
Yes, communications.
You know, involved at there was a Pigeon Island club that Auntie June Frederick ran, mm-hmm. associated with the National Trust. So my youth was spent doing activities.
You were quite a busy one and very engaged.
Yes.
And that's mm-hmm. amazing stuff. All right. Well, that is definitely paying off and is definitely benefiting the world in a very blessed way. So let me tell you what I will do. I'll take another word from our partners and then we will come back and we go into the professionals. Wonderful.
Thanks for me.
a word from the Bank of St. Lucia and Courts. We'll be back.
I love my community. It teaches you the importance of being together even through difficult times. Business owners doing their best to make it through. Fishermen and farmers working hard to put food on our tables. Nurses caring for the sick shows me who we are made of. People who care. I guess it's about growing together.
Bank of St. Lucia is inspired by the strength of the communities in which we live and operate. We are happy to be part of these communities, and we will continue to serve you. Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
It's all about her at Quartz. Shop today and enjoy great deals on select dining sets. Buy one, get one 50% off bar stools. Plus, save up to 20% off mattresses. Shop in store and online at www.shopquartz.com for these and other great savings. So, make it all about her with brand new furniture pieces from Quartz. Quartz, bringing value home.
And welcome back. For those of you who are just joining us, this is She Speaks on Radio Caribbean International, and we've got the awesome and amazing Janelle Blanchard in our company this morning. Janelle, you are now the Vice President of Tetra Tech's International Development Service Group. First, give us a little insight, because what's that?
So Tetra Tech is an engineering firm, 20,000 people worldwide, and I'm in a group that's focused on international development, making countries such as St. Lucia better for the future generations.
Wow.
I particularly work on energy.
Energy,
to make your utility, how to make Alusilek in other parts of the world function better, so that people in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, have 24/7 electricity, something that we're blessed to have in St. Lucia. Or working with countries to pivot to renewable energy and introduce solar, introduce wind, introduce biomass. So we work with countries, we work with companies to really improve the way that they manage their energy sector. And my role as a vice president means that I'm involved in finding the projects, in staffing the projects, making sure they work well. I'm involved in hiring of staff, and I'm involved in making sure that I can retain my staff and that they're happy.
Let's talk about your entry into energy efficiency, because this is right now we are seeing, before we didn't take this too seriously, you know, and now we are realizing that more and more this is something that as a world, as a universe, we have to put a lot more effort and pay more attention in that department. So when you got into that field, was it a strategic move? Did you always have a passion for wanting to see some sort of change in that department? Was it a strategic getting into that department, or was it something that you gravitated towards,
you know,
quite by chance?
It was by happenstance, but when I look back, it wasn't so happenstance. So I basically graduated from my master's from the University of Miami, and my mom was there helping me pack, and I said, you know what, I'm going back to DC. I applied to so many companies, and this one company that had one project in Jamaica working on energy efficiency and water conservation issues with the hotel sector gave me an internship. And after a few months, the internship became a job, and I've been there 20 internship. And after a few months, the internship became a job, and I've been there 23 years later. But when I look back at my time at the convent, you know, I was a president of the Science and Technology Environment Club. I participated in science fair. You know, I did a papier-mâché model of the sandy seashore and involved in soursop as a diversification crop. So you could say, even though I didn't really focus on energy, that commitment or that focus on the environment,
it was always there. It was always there. Wow. Okay. So you got into the field. At what level? When you've got in on the professional level into the energy efficiency field, on what level did you get in? And walk us to the growth of where you are. Because where you are right now, that position that you hold is a heavy one, but it's also such a very vital one. And a lot is placed on your shoulders, not just for St. Lucia, but you're managing these things for the world. I've seen you've been places like Egypt and these places. These are all places that you're in, parts of the world that you're influencing with that knowledge and that experience. So talk to us about your journey.
So I started as an intern, and I was working mainly with engineers. You would say that my focus was really project management, and I worked in Washington for about 4 years. And then we won a small contract actually based in Barbados, where we worked with hotels in Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean to become Green Globe certified, or environmentally certified. Mm-hmm. So I think if you go to Bay Gardens now, they probably still have Green Globe certification sign outside the door. And so we worked, I led that project and worked with them to become environmentally fit. I went back to Washington, and then lo and behold, we won a new contract that placed me in Antigua for 3 years, again, working in the Eastern Caribbean. When that project ended, I took a break. I took 5 months off and spent time here in the Caribbean. When that project ended, I took a break. I took 5 months off and spent time here at home with my mom and my family. And when I went back, you know, I had no projects. And the way you keep your job is you have projects. Yeah. So I went to my VP and I said, what can I do? And he said, well, do you want to go to Afghanistan? We're starting up a new project.
Wow.
Would you go? And I leapt at the chance to go. I called my mom and my father, and they were like, well, it sounds as if you're committed. And that, I think, was the real turning point for me in terms of launching my career in the energy sector. There, I worked with 10 men over the age of 60 who were all white males.
I would think,
That was quite an experience. You know, I think I was about 30-something at that point.
Wow.
And so I did Afghanistan. And then when I came back, just as I got settled, they said, well, do you want to go to Kosovo in Europe? And so I moved to Kosovo for 3.5 years, again, also embedded within the electricity utility as we got ready to sell it to private owners. And then I came back to Washington. And ever since then, I support multiple projects around the world. Right now, I'm supporting a project in Pakistan that's working on the energy sector, and especially electric companies in Peshawar. You know, that's an area that has a lot of terrorism.
Yes.
And one of the thoughts is, if we can give them electricity, there can be jobs, there can be schools, therefore there'll be less terrorism.
Wow.
We're also working on renewable energy projects in Southeast Asia, so helping small companies that have technology that can help increase food security and increase agricultural production. So things like solar water panels, biogas, things that we could be doing in St. Lucia. I know that there are some young people that have been looking into using technology. So this is a project that is supporting 16 countries scale up these small technologies. One of my other projects is looking at energy and women. How can we get more women
Take you there, because, you know, one of the things that you say you're working on, well, merging the energy with agriculture and also energy with the gender-based. How interesting is this? Because we think in energy, okay, we'd overhear energy, and here we are looking at ways in which we can now see sectors that we can merge using that whole energy platform. That is some very insightful places to go. To walk us through these, and how are you making these links? How are these links are being made, and how effective are they? And is it really a thing?
It is really a thing. I mean, there are a lot of small technologies that, if you as a farmer, not necessarily a big farmer, even a backyard farmer, mm-hmm. can use, you can really increase your production and, most importantly, minimize your costs. So when you think of solar water pumps, I mean, you're using solar, you know, to help pump the water from underground to irrigate your fields,
right,
as opposed to necessarily having to pay them. There's some, you know, if you think of cassava mining or cassava milling,
right,
and, you know, you have to mill all that cassava to make cassava flour to sell. There's something called a solar agroprocessor,
right,
where, again, you can use the benefits of the sun to power your processor to mill,
wow,
that cassava. So again, I think people think of renewable energy and they think solar panels, they think big,
yes,
but there are a lot of these small technologies that can be used. I mean, a place like St. Lucia, we're well organized, we've got you know, electricity and access to water. But imagine that you're a small farm in rural Kenya and you are a dairy farmer. So you milk your cows, right? And then you have to rush to the next town to sell your milk.
Yeah.
What happens if there's no bus? There's no way. Well, there's now a solar powered mini fridge where you can store that milk,
wow,
and get to town the next day. So it's really transforming people's lives. And I think for me, you know, sometimes I get frustrated. Yes, I'm a VP, so it's a lot of paper,
a lot
of budgets. But then when you talk to somebody who says, look, before, you know, my life was like this, and now because of this small solar powered fridge.
Right.
I actually have money to send my children to school, and I can actually charge my phone and charge my neighbor to charge his phone on my solar powered fridge. So it really feels, you know, that you're making an impact. You are right. Transforming people's lives.
The gratification, I would think, that comes with something of that sort. Yes, it will be a lot of work, but to see that you can actually, project by project, as small as it might be, across the world, continue to change a mindset and help to preserve the world, help to preserve our climate change, help to, because all of these things are impacted with little lifestyle changes like these, isn't it? But I think the gratification, talk to us about the gratification, because it's one thing to focus on all of the hard work, because at your levels, yes, it will come with a lot, I would imagine. But let's shift the focus into, you know, what, you know, the gratification that will come with being, you know, being able to look within yourself and know that, yes, I am making a contribution towards that light. And we'll go further after we talk about that, to talk about, you know, the future of all of this. Where do you see the future? Because more and more we're hearing the conversation, but in getting the mindset and the whole person, getting the education and getting people to understand that, listen, this is really and truly where we need to be heading. If we need to be, you know, improving our ourselves, improving our environments, we've been seeing the things that's been happening. So let's take it down that line. I mean, like I said, the gratification for you, being able to associate with things that is making such changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, you know, the gratification is, again, seeing the impact on, you know, the single company or the person in the ministry in XYZ country who has had this project that they're trying to do, which will really be transformative for their country. But I think for me, the other part of my job that is really satisfying is hiring, you know, junior staff and seeing them grow.
Yes.
I know I have one colleague, you know, who's listening in now, who I always tell her story. Mm-hmm. You know, she's Kenyan and she came to interview, and at the time they were like, I don't think she would work. And, you know, I said, but how about you use her this way instead of that way?
Right.
Lo and behold, she's been promoted 3 times.
Wow.
You know, and she's somebody senior. So really, mm-hmm. for me, you know, it's finding those people that other people may, you know, dismiss because they maybe are not educated in the US, or they don't have an engineering degree, and seeing how they can add value within the organization or another organization.
Awesome.
So, you know, as you grow, you pull others up. But, you know, going back to what can we do? I mean, we really need, yes, the private sector can do a lot. And the private sector is focused on embracing a lot of environmentally friendly practices.
Mm-hmm.
It saves them money, you know.
Yeah.
There's a reason why the hotels have faucet aerators to reduce the flow, or they have motion sensor lights. Yes, the environment is important, but they're doing it because it's bringing down their electricity bill.
Right.
I also think we need to have the laws and the policies change. So, you know, you have pressure from the top, and you have change driven by a cost narrative. And of course, it needs to be part of the education. You know, everybody talks about the fact that you drive around St. Lucia and we have garbage everywhere. You know, people are throwing garbage from the side of the road. So the importance of civics education that explains to people that this is our country. We only have one country. Mm-hmm. And we, as a small island developing states, are one of the ones that are going to be impacted by climate change. And every single action, you know, that we can take, no matter how small, is going to have a positive impact. And some of that is not throwing your garbage everywhere.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
So I'll stop preaching now.
No, listen, I could sit here and listen to this is the kind of preaching we need, you know? We definitely need this kind of friction, especially in these times. We have 6 minutes left. All right. I want to take a break again on a word from our partners. And then I want to come back and talk about, because this is heavy and this is a lot. And, you know, persons might just be looking in from the outside now and thinking, oh, boy, she's holding a big position, the vice president of so and so and so, you know, such a big company. But there must have been challenges. I mean, like you said, look at times where you're so many times you're away from your family. Sometimes a little thing like just wanting to be around your family, as that human nature, you can't afford to do. So you must have had some challenges. then and now that you're facing. And we just want you to share some of those so you can, you know, enlighten somebody who may be on the same path and might be, you know, tested to give up, you know, so you give them a little hope. Let's take a word and we're coming right back.
I love my community. It teaches you the importance of being together even through difficult times. Business owners doing their best to make it through. Fishermen and farmers working hard to put food on our tables. Nurses caring for the sick shows me who we are made of. People who care. I guess it's about growing together.
Bank of St. Lucia is inspired by the strength of the communities in which we live and operate. We are happy to be part of these communities, and we will continue to serve you. Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
It's all about her at Quartz. Shop today and enjoy great deals on select dining sets. Buy one, get one 50% off bar stools. Plus, save up to 20% off mattresses. Shop in store and online at www.shopquartz.com for these and other great savings. So, make it all about her with brand new furniture pieces from Quartz. Quartz, bringing value home.
And we are back, 4 minutes left on the inside, and we have 4 minutes left before we wrap up She Speaks for yet another beautiful day. Now, we want to talk about some of your challenges, but before we go there, because I want to watch your time, 4 minutes, that's enough. We have we have enough time. So let's talk about a little bit more about, let's bring this back home. We touched briefly on it, but I want us to concentrate a little bit more about back home and our attitude and our mindset as far as heading into that direction. Do you think that we are where we should be? Are we heading there? What is your take on it? How do you feel about St. Lucia as an island fitting into the whole scheme of what you deal with?
I mean, St. Lucia has made great strides with its energy sector. I mean, Lucilec is a very well-run utility, and we often use it as an example of an excellent utility in our case studies. Mm. I also know that the fact that, you know, the country has a commitment to embrace renewable energy, it's on the right path. So I think it's the area of the environment that we probably, you know, need to strengthen our policies and laws so that we give people an incentive to change their behavior and we penalize them when they don't. But, you know, it's easy when you're outside to make judgments. And we know that governments, regardless of red or yellow, whatever you think, they've got to juggle priorities, yeah. Right? And so it's a matter of understanding that environment is important because it does impact, it is going to impact our future. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the energy sector, St. Lucia can be held up as definitely a well-run energy sector.
That is beautiful. That is amazing stuff. And like you said, we just had to, as individual, take some responsibility as well for our very own action. Yes. And I must commend, yes. Let me give them a little plug because we got, we just signed in a 2-week promotion with the Solid Waste Management Authority and Rotoplastic as well, along that line in terms of educating and enlightening persons about the importance of their garbage and how they dispose and how they don't dispose and, you know, just taking some personal mm-hmm. responsibility. So I must commend them as well. Let's talk about some of the challenges. In wrapping up, you know, some of the things that, you know, you know, it must not have been all smooth sailing. So talk to us about that and give our listeners a bit of hope as to how they can, you know, deal with challenges or deal with instances like that and keep pushing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, the challenges, I think, surround sometimes self-doubt when you are different or the only one in the room. And in my case, sometimes it's the only Black person.
Yes.
It's the only woman. It's
you've
the
had only quite
non-engineer.
A few in it. Exactly.
It's the only foreigner. And I think for me, what has been key is knowing where you're from. You know, my mom and I like to joke that, you know, I can always tell the people goodbye and come back home, you know.
Right.
And so knowing where you're from gives you that grounding, surrounding yourself with a network of people. I'm blessed to have friends. I think my oldest friend was born 2 days after me, and I'm still friends with a core group of girls from Wolf Convent and Sans Souci School. And so having that network, in addition to your family that you can lead on. I mean, I would not have gotten through Afghanistan if I didn't call my mom every day, because that was a very difficult experience. Right. One that I'm happy I did, because it prepared me for the next stage. But having that mom, that uncle, that auntie that you can call on, having faith in whatever it is that you believe, that things are going to get better and that you take in this step to lead you somewhere else, I think is key for overcoming those challenges and those moments of self-doubt. You know, we all have them. Am I good enough? Is my presentation good enough? Do I look good enough? You know, and it's just having those people and that faith to be able to reinforce you in those moments of self-doubt.
Absolutely. What about the young people that may be thinking about getting into the energy sector?
I mean, I would say that, you know, it's far and wide. I think in the Caribbean, we focus on university education, getting that four-year degree. But there's a lot of work for people who are technicians, you know, a solar panel technician, either making or fixing solar panels. So I would say, in addition to looking at the formal four-year degree programs and everything that comes from energy, whether you're an electrical engineer or you're on the renewable energy side or you're on the geomatic side, there is also a lot for folks who are more vocational or trading, you know, good with their hands, and they could be a tradesperson. And I would say, in fact, they're the ones that are more in demand than people who have degrees. Yeah. So, you know, if I was a young person today, I would seriously have to consider, you know, whether getting a vocational education is not the faster and the better way to go, because you can be working much quicker with that skill that only you have. If we think about how difficult it is to get an electrician on the weekend or any time. You know, you can get people who have a master's or a bachelor's in sociology a dime a dozen. But how easy is it to get an electrician or a plumber? So if you're thinking about energy, you know, look at what do you really want to do. Do you want to be in the office writing a policy, you know, facilitating a meeting, or do you want to be out there climbing the roof, putting up the solar panels, fixing the solar panels? What's going to give you most joy? Because as a young person or any person, you know, deciding your career is all about what is going to get me out of bed on my worst day.
Oh, gosh. That's a beautiful note to end on. You're amazing. You're such a breath of fresh air, man. I love talking to you.
Thank you.
You inspired me this morning. You touched me in so many. Listen, I want to go and climb a pool now. You know, because what is amazing, and I'm glad we ended on that note, because so many times persons feel deficient, or they've been made to feel because you don't have the bookie education. But it is okay to have the vocational. It is okay, and it is necessary as well, you know. So let's normalize this whole thing and know that there's a place for everybody, whether you're the bookie or you're a vocational personnel. And I am so grateful that we ended on that note, especially in these times. You are awesome. I love you. I love you. I love speaking with you. I wish I had access to you like full time. I could just sit at you wisdom, man. I could talk to you forever. Thank you again for blessing our listeners, and thank you for blessing me and blessing us at Radio Caribbean International. Thank you very much. Have a blessed one, and keep doing those awesome jobs, man, in some of those strange places. It is different, but it's beautiful experience, I guess, because it's different from where what you're used to. So it must come with some really exciting ventures as well to go with it. Have an awesome day. Thank you again for blessing us this morning. It was an honor.
Thank you.
Wonderful. That's Miss Janelle Blanchard, guys. And boy, she is amazing. She is the Vice President in Tetra Tech's International Development Service. And she is beautiful. And she was perfect for this morning She Speak. Thanks, Tams. That was a good one. Thank you, Tammy. Big up to Tammy and big up to Roy. These are the producers of this show. And of course, thank you to our partners, the Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need, and Quartz St. Lucia, bringing value home.